This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make
good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for replying. I'm really actually talking to the audience at home. I didn't need that. Neither of you.
I'll be quiet for now.
Yes, thank you, Larry. Larry Charles, just out of... There's an original sin to this show. There's a flaw to this show. We know what it is.
Only one.
Only one. There is this thing that we want to keep it light and loose and have the people here. We're not doing David Letterman, Jay Leno, where we're, welcome to the stage, welcome to the theater. Everyone's here, but I have to act like they're kind of not because I'm talking to... There is an audience watching, Larry.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah. And who the hell are you? What the hell happened? Where the hell is Doug and what happened to his hair?
I didn't know I was filling in, but I am happy to be here.
Have you ever used a microphone before? Get the hell in there. Get close.
I don't know why I have to get right on it.
No. Mark, I'm telling you, man. I'll be honest with you. And that's, I know that's your line, but it's anti-bullying week at my daughter's school and my son's school this week. That's the message. And I'm trying my hardest, but it's going to be real hard with you because you've been a pain in the ass all morning. And I want to get over there. And how am I supposed to keep going like this with you acting like the way you're acting all morning, coming in here with the attitude?
I don't know why you invited me then.
I don't either. But expect some bullying, folks. What else can I do, Vic? I'm kidding. I'm happy to have you here. But we are going to clown around. You got to let me... Give me permission to clown around.
You don't need permission. We're in comedy, for Christ's sakes.
Do you want to sit back there or do you want to sit over here? I mean, what do you want to do? By the way, it's so hot in here, Mark.
Why?
I asked you to be in charge of the climate.
Where do you want me to sit? I was told to sit behind this office desk.
It worked really well a few weeks ago. We had A.D. Miles. Do you know A.D. Miles?
Vaguely.
Yes. Yeah, he's a very funny guy. He's very funny. Funny cat.
He's very funny.
Very funny. And he sat there and it was not an issue. But with you, it's an issue.
You're upset.
Vic, you got to take a side here, buddy. I don't know. I need you to come in and chime in on what's happening here because...
I don't know. It's just
it works great when Miles is back there, and it works great with Doug back there. But there's something off.
It's a weird vibe for sure. You can just it's like one of those things you can feel it in the air. You know what I mean, Mark?
It was like a. I usually wake up around 10, so I got up early. It was a 20-minute drive.
That's not bad.
Okay.
All right, let's continue. Big news.
Do you want me sitting here?
Oh, God. Can you hear that I'm starting the show? And
Sorry.
God. I don't know. And I apologize, Larry.
Oh, no, please.
It's just hard.
I understand.
You can see how hard this is. You're a director.
It seems very frustrating.
It seems very... Yeah. Yeah, that could go either way, couldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Mark. Well, just try to be a positive force on the show today, not a drain as you do on that show you're on that we can't talk about.
What show is that?
I can't mention
sorry.
It.
Sorry.
Not allowed. I have to say something to you, Larry.
Yes, sir.
And we're already off the map here, but somebody in the Zoom seems to be wearing a Seinfeldian shirt. Can you see? You don't see the Zoom room. Let's bring him in real quick. Just to see. Do you see this Clinton Haynes? He's excited.
No. Is it?
No?
Yeah.
You don't want me to see that?
No.
Look
no.
at this.
Dude, but I, if he's.
No?
Here he is. Okay. Speak up, Clinton.
Clinton, look at you. Oh. Are you trying
hi,
to show
Larry.
Off?
Oh, hi, Mark. Hi, Tim. Hi, Vic.
Hi there.
Are you trying to show off for our guest here? Is that what this is? The pirate
I love Seinfeld.
Shirt.
This is a treat for me. Love the pirate shirt. And I love, such a pleasure.
Are you responsible for the pirate shirt?
No, I mean, I was there when it came up. But
Do you think he wants to talk about a 25-year-old show?
Yeah.
Sorry, 35. Curb, I love
really?
Curb. I love Dictator.
Thank you very much. Where are you?
I'm in Toronto. I am Australian. I'm 35. I'm a Gemini. I'm a comedian.
All right, get him out of here.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's welcome Vic Berger to the show this morning. Vic.
What's sip, everybody?
Vic with his, ugh.
It's not good.
Vic with his Starbucks sponsorship. How much are you getting from Starbucks?
No, I don't get anything. I just refill these cups. I just reduce and reuse cups.
Great. And the big news is Captain Carlin, not on jury duty at the moment.
Not guilty.
You know what? I want to report you to the LA County jurist. Because Matt's been doing jury duty the past couple weeks.
Oh, wow.
Past
oh,
couple
a
weeks.
Nightmare.
But he's been blabbing about every little.
I have not.
Oh, my God.
How dare you? I respect our system. I respect the sanctity of the courts.
Yeah.
You should get on the Trump jury. That would be very effective, I think.
How are they going to find somebody to be on that jury, huh?
I think it'll be super interesting. I'm curious.
Mark, would you be on the Trump jury? Would you be able to make the case that you belong on there?
I wouldn't be able to make a case. Well, they wouldn't choose me.
Because you have opinions about him. You voted for him.
Well, I voted for him every time. I voted him in off years, even. I went down to
he's
the mayor's
office. He's
your
writing candidate?
Yeah.
We did vote for him in 2016, and but I wasn't sure if you voted for him in 2020. Were you happy with the job he did?
No, I was happy with the job he did. There's a lot of naysayers out there. A lot of
hey, look at where
people.
We. Well, I'll ask this to everybody. Look at where we were as a country during his administration to where we are now.
Yes.
And look at the world.
I'm looking.
And,
yeah.
It's getting bad.
It's getting worse.
It doesn't really matter who's in charge anymore.
I think that's the
problem.
Essential
we're just
point.
In chaos, and we're not being told.
Are we getting into this right now?
Whenever you want, but you're the host.
Well, let me say that Larry is here because we love Larry Charles, and he loves us.
Yes, very much. Deeply.
That's fair.
Profoundly.
Yeah. Larry called into the show a couple of years ago. Who knows when? It was probably a couple of years. It was during the pandemic.
It was during the pandemic, yeah.
And got along great. I went to visit you. I went to the mountain.
Yes, you did. You came.
And paid respect.
Yes, we hung.
Went to the guru's mansion. No, it's not a mansion.
This, maybe, but yeah.
But you are here because you've directed and produced this movie, Dix, the musical.
Correct.
And you're out here doing the circuit.
Correct.
Promoting. And this is a little unusual for you, maybe.
Yes, but I wanted to make sure that I visited with you. That was very important to me.
Top priority.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're going to get into that and so much more on today's episode of Office Hours Live. Cut to the credits. That's our intro.
We'll be right back.
That's the cold intro.
Lisa Tobin.
But I really want to spend time with Mark.
Yes, you should.
But you're here just for the first half because you've got, can you tell me what's going on in Hollywood?
Yeah, we're making a sing-along edition of the movie.
A what?
A sing-along edition
with
subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's fun.
So it's being produced really quickly and I have to go to Hollywood to do a quality check on the colors and the subtitles.
So how did you get, I'll do the interview right now. Can we get the interview over with right now? Mark, are you okay? Do you need anything?
I'm wondering, there's going to be one or two people out there that think I voted for Trump, and it's
not cool with you.
It's
I believed it.
No, I don't want people thinking that.
Okay, let's clarify. Mark wrote in John Kasich.
Oh, wow. Well,
no, I'm not. I'm a Democrat.
No, you know what? It's not your business who Mark voted for. And you want
to
keep that.
Well, you put it out there that. And so now it seems like it's my business to correct. You know, I don't want an article here or there.
Oh, you think people are writing articles about you?
Trump supporting comic trying to make it in liberal business.
Yeah,
in liberal Hollywood.
Phony liberal comes out of the closet as Trump supporter on Tim Heidecker's podcast.
Revealed, exposed.
I don't think there's any shame in who you voted for, Mark.
Listen, I just don't want the 27 people listening to.
Easy with you. Let the bullying begin.
Right now is about owning the libs.
Now, okay, can I proceed with my interview with Larry Charles?
Please do.
Jesus
Christ.
Excuse
us, Mark.
Sorry about that.
And maybe you have some questions.
I have plenty of questions.
What, well, they put two random books in front of you, by the way, and
again,
I don't know why.
I feel like I'm at an autograph show or
something. That's true. I am going to get your autograph at the end of this.
We have a Sharpie somewhere.
How my pits? This blue shirt, I look good in the blue shirt, but the fluids go right through.
You're working hard, though, man. You got those sleeves rolled up. I mean, you're working.
You know, I was thinking about Jim Jordan.
Right, with this.
He never does the sleeves rolled up, but he always looks like a guy who's getting things done.
Yeah.
But then
he
never is.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing ever gets done, but he always has that look of like, Can the cameras leave? Because we're actually going to get to work now.
Yeah, excuse us.
Yeah, he's like a math teacher.
Right.
Nothing ever gets done.
A hygiene teacher who also did gym classes once in a while.
Fucking hygiene. Well,
He did wrestling.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He did wrestling, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's people call him Jim, G-Y-M, right? G-Y-M Jordan. Yeah, he's like, what did he cover up for some?
Yeah, some Ohio State or something. Yeah, the wrestling program there. Yeah.
Well, they all seem like good people.
Yeah, they are solid Americans.
So I'm going sleeves down. I don't like this look, but I'm going down in honor of Jim Jordan's historic defeat this week.
Yeah.
So how did this movie, Dick's the Musical? How did you get involved? This kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I had.
You're not looking to direct a movie.
I had no ambitions. I have no ambitions at all, ever. Yeah. I mean, if things come along and I can get something going, I will. And this was a script that was given to me. The two guys who have been doing it at UCB for like 8 or 10 years asked if I would take a look at it.
Yeah,
I read
out of nowhere.
Through my agent. Yeah, you know. And the first page was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, super. Super laugh out loud funny.
Yeah.
Page 5, page 20. I was going up to my wife going, I can't believe how funny this is. It's so original. The language, it's again, like you, it's like a very original piece. If somebody gave me one of your scripts, I'd feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm looking for language, ideas, something that is fresh and different and alive. And this movie had all of that. It was so original.
On the page.
Imaginative, funny, unexpected. Fantastic music, unbelievably great songs that you could listen to and you want to sing.
Did they send the music with the script so you could
They
hear,
sent me as well the they
can't
had
do
these,
this.
The
like, 35, by the way, I can't do this.
It's okay. Do what
I
you have
go,
to do.
Go back up.
You can always go down to the t-shirt also. You have that option.
That's true.
You'll have to get re-mic'd though. They sent me the tape of their UCB show where they played all the roles.
Mm-hmm.
And the music was, it was only
They played the mom and dad, too?
They played the mom and dad. They played other characters, too. And they were so talented. They were like a gay Abbott and Costello or something.
Right.
I mean, I loved watching
these
guys.
They were gay, though, by the way, Abbott and Costello.
Exactly, which, that's coming out.
You should probably
is that a problem
that
with you?
I don't think that's really.
That's a Seinfeld reference right there. Do you have a problem with the fact that Abbott and Costello were in love?
I don't think that's a Seinfeld thing, but.
Well, no, the Seinfeld thing was, and
not
I don't have a problem.
With
not
it.
That there's anything.
Oh,
wrong with
yes,
that.
Right. Well, you did. You kind of butchered.
So. So I read the script. I saw the play. You can interrupt, by the way. I don't mind.
I am not interrupting.
No,
I'm
please.
Fascinated.
I'm actually interrupting you. Is what's going
no,
on
no,
here?
No, no.
And for some reason, A24, the China company, these people were willing to put a few bucks into it.
Yeah.
Very low budget, like an $8 million budget. 20 days.
Yeah.
I like that kind of action.
Sure.
So we did it, and it was like all the exuberance and energy of the spontaneity of shooting a movie in 20 days kind of explodes through the screen. It kind of erases that barrier between the audience. and the performers. I'm looking for that interaction, that exchange.
Yeah.
Like a Rocky Horror show.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
has that kind of...
It feels culty.
Audiences like it's, are going crazy when they're all packed in there together,
yeah.
which is how Borat worked, and great comedies need a full crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you're doing it in a movie theater. And this has kind of proven itself to have that kind of...
It must have given these money people great comfort to know that you were going to be at the helm.
I think so. I think that gave them a little, you know, strangely, I don't know why. It really
well, you have a track record, Vic. Why?
But they did trust me to shepherd this where it had to go, and I did.
And who brought in the big, the heavy hitters, the Broadways? The
it was very easy.
Lane and
it was. I wrote them letters.
Yeah.
We sent them the material, and it was like, you know, either you're in or you're out.
Yeah,
you respond to this or you don't. Nathan and Megan. Nathan, I know his work really, really well. Megan, I was not as familiar with the breadth of her work.
Right.
With her voice, for instance.
She's a real Broadway.
Oh my God!
Talent.
Fantastic singer. Very original thinker. Great improviser, and so the two of them together, again, you know how it is, that chemistry, you cannot manufacture or contrive that chemistry. They had it. They
Absolutely.
Just had great
chemistry.
Have they
ever worked together before?
They've worked together, they did Broadway together.
And Mark, you've done Broadway?
No, you know I have.
I could see you in Death of a Salesman as the lead.
I don't think I'm quite that age. But.
Maybe Biff. Biff, though.
Maybe Biff.
Yeah.
Hi, this is DJ Doug Pound in your mix to let you know that you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's Delicious Meals. Factor is fresh and never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, or most importantly, Vegan. Of course, I signed up for vegan, and it was great. My favorites were the 3-bean chili and the tangy citrus tofu bowl. It's fast, easy, and delicious. I also like getting extra pep in my step with their wellness shots. The apple, lemon, ginger, cayenne. Oh, baby, that's a good spice right there. When you don't have time to cook or you just don't feel like it, Factor eliminates all the hassles of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I love it's Megan Mullally.
Megan Mullally, yes.
I love, she's...
She's great.
She's wonderful.
Of incredible talent. And Nathan Lane doesn't miss...
Nathan Lane is like one of the, first of all, I guess this is his year of being the national treasure.
Yeah, because him and Bo is Afraid. Did you see Bo is Afraid?
I love Bo is Afraid. I thought he was fantastic.
I feel like you and I.
You and I may be the only ones,
well,
unfortunately.
God bless.
It's a great movie.
You know who it is? Me, you, and Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, does he like the movie?
He loved it.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I talked to Marty about it, and had dinner with him last night, Little Dom's, and he was raving about it.
It is an epic, and it's kind of misunderstood. It's one of those movies that people will go back to and discover. It's
for
great.
Sure.
It's a great movie. I mean, and Nathan Lane is great in it.
He's
but
great.
But Joaquin Phoenix is also mind-blowing in
yeah,
it, so
yeah.
It's a great movie.
I wish my, I mean, you want to get into my little nitpick with it?
Please.
I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is fantastic in it, but there's always something about, to me, like the handsome guy playing a character of a schlub.
Yes.
That I kind of wish you'd just go with the schlub.
Yeah.
Go with the guy that, like,
the only
I don't
thing
know, Mark
I would say,
or somebody
I,
like that.
I
like,
hear what you're saying. I
You didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. Somebody like Mark might have been great in that movie,
I'm all
by
for
the
it.
Way. But the thing with Joaquin Phoenix that I like is that although he could be a good looking guy, he'll do that thing with his body, and he can be grotesque.
Yes.
And it's like authentically grotesque, so I buy this other part of him, you know.
I bought it. That's, like I said, minor.
Yeah,
minor.
Yeah,
and I know
yeah.
it's also how, like, you get the movie made.
Of course. Well, he's the one that'll drive the money.
But not really.
No?
That's the other thing, is when you look at it, you're like, actually, things are changing so much that, like, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't guarantee you get
no
people to go see your 3-hour insane fever dream of a movie. Like, people are gonna.
He's in another one. He's in Napoleon. I mean, yeah, that's probably another 3-hour fever dream.
I kind of want to see that.
That'll be great. Also, yeah, I'm sure it'll be good.
Did you see some of those?
Yeah,
the battle scenes look.
It looks legit.
Insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a big Napoleon fan of the stuff he did to Europe.
Oh.
Yeah. You like a good conqueror.
That's a controversial take.
Well, what he did to the Middle East,
very
too.
Very brave of you, Doug.
Yeah. Love imperialism.
He conquered Egypt very gracefully, I think, very respectfully.
Alexander also. People just walked into Egypt and took it over. It was pretty simple. They didn't have any military.
Well, look, there was nothing happening in those regions.
No, the Sphinx was closed.
He brought technology. You
know, the pyramid was closed. Yeah. No tourists, so it was easy.
Yeah, just a peaceful culture. And
the occasional human sacrifice once in a while, you know.
So Dix is going to open. Dix has opened already.
It's opened in like 10 theaters. And right. Then
they're going to do the rollout.
This will be a slow rollout, exactly. And I think that'll work. People will discover the movie. Because my theory is it's not just a cult movie. I think, like, I've met people who are Trump supporters, like Mark, I've invited them to see the movie, and they love the movie also.
Yeah.
If you want to laugh, if you like good music, it doesn't really. You could disagree with the things that we say in the movie and still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just like any comedy.
Sure. Yes. I mean, it's very silly and crazy, and it's full of... I'm not going to be offended by any of this stuff in the movie because I'm on board with it all. Or if it's almost a satirical take on what's offensive.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Especially in the end, which I don't want to give the ending away. But
well, the good thing is you have
really
these...
what I'm all about.
What's that? What's that?
Oh, sorry.
Anti-PC is really what I'm all
Anti-PC
about.
Anti-PC is
right.
Right. No, it does work because we tell you right up front, there's two gay men playing two straight men.
Yeah.
All of this is masks. All of this is performance. This is a movie. I'm showing you. I use Xanadu as one of my inspirations. They're shooting off the set. You see the crew in the background. The guy didn't care what was going on, the director. And I thought that was hilarious.
Or Jesus Christ Superstar. You're seeing all those scaffolds and shit.
Yes, you're seeing the crew and everything. And I thought that was a great way to sort of expose the process. So it's almost like a making of the musical and the musical sort of synthesized.
Yeah. All right. That's enough of that.
Okay, please.
Okay, the fucking CBS Morning News sit down with Larry is over.
That's why I'm not doing those shows. Nor do they want me, but that's about it.
You should see the Chevy Chase version, the Chevy Chase CBS Sunday Morning profile they did on him from a few years ago. It is grim.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, actually.
He's mouthful of dentures, which is not nice, you know, but... that's the kind of guy I am. no, but he just is. What's funny about it is he does not want to be there. He's not interested in doing any kind of self-reflection.
Like he wants to be anywhere, though. That's the thing about Chevy Chase. He always seems like in a sour mood, whatever he's doing.
He seems very bitter
about
how he's perceived and where his career is at.
And he acts like he truly doesn't care, but...
Of course he does.
No one doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
No one in this industry.
He genuinely doesn't
understand
why he still isn't the number one comedy movie star in the world.
Yeah, like,
it's not my fault. I've been doing everything right.
Right. Did you see Fletch Lives?
what do I want to do? I definitely want to do the City of the Damned Day.
Oh, let's get that out of the way, right?
Yeah. Of the day. That was a miss. Swing and a miss. A little bit like those Arizona Diamondbacks, Vic. All right, the City of the Day is sponsored by Wimple's Dimple Spackle. Are you bedimpled? Do you get sick of people constantly calling attention to your unique and wonderful dimples? Well, now you can look normal with Wimple's Dimple Spackle, the cheek smothering solution for all dimple sufferers. Using Wimple's is easy. Just grab a putty knife, scoop out some spackle, and apply it to your dimps. Once it's dry, sand it down with the included cheek-safe sandpaper. Now you don't look like a sideshow novelty. Warning, don't smile when using this product. The spackle plugs can pop out and injure someone's eye, so feel confident again with Wimple's Dimple Spackle. Available in the paint section at all participating... Oh, wow, I have a huge typo to report. You ready for this? available in the paint section at all participating Ace Hardwares. Does that seem like a typo or an attempt at humor?
Someone's trying to humiliate you.
Are you feeling humiliated? Or are you zoned out?
Listen, not everything's going to land. And
ouch.
Harold Lloyd had off days. You're going to have an off day here.
Oh,
wow, and there.
Look at you with the references, comedy references. People are watching. Are like, oh, he said it. He knows him too.
By the way, Harold Lloyd never had an off day. I'm just.
I agree.
Some movie lore.
Participating. Can we get some closure on this issue, Matt? Can we find out if that's an intentional spelling? Because it seems off.
Look, my read is it's a joke, but we'll get in touch with.
Well,
Doug.
By the way, I should mention Doug Lusenhop, who's our third member here, is on the Eric Andre tour right now. That's why he's not here.
Oh, wow.
He has commitments that take precedent over this show, apparently. Just sick.
But he did send a...
What crime did he commit that he had to go on to the Eric
Andre? Hey, ouch!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The crime of the old paying the bills, probably. Oh, no, that's not true. He's...
I'm joking.
He's having fun. We're all having fun.
Sure.
You're going to get more shit for that than the Trump stuff. Believe me, he doesn't care.
I'm not on social media.
They now will we? Continue. Now we will all enjoy this 5 second. So here we go back to Doug. Now we will all enjoy this 5 second jingle that Doug made while waiting for sound check in Houston. Oh, so Doug's saying he made this. There you go.
Yeah.
I've got some work to do, so I thought that was going to be longer.
I welled up there for a minute.
All right, let's find out who the city of the day actually is.
Cole.
Hi, the city of the day is Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, thank you very much. Where are you, in a plane?
What? I'm in a car right now. We're stuck in traffic.
That's Atlanta for you.
Play. You betcha. We're on our way to play 529 tonight. Me and my band.
Okay, plug the band.
It's called Jazzy. G-Y-A-S-I. But I did have a good question, if you want to hear it.
Yes. Is that the question?
No. I'm wearing my favorite national park shirt, Great Sand Dunes National Park in Colorado. I wanted to know what your favorite national park is.
Well, this is actually great because I have a picture of Mark and I that I wanted to show the audience. And Mark is bracing for humiliation, but no, this is sweet. This is actually a sign that Mark and I are, in fact, or at one point were, friends. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark, do you remember where that was?
That was at Yosemite.
National Park! Now, people think you must have scripted that with the call, but no, that's just how it goes.
I was actually going to bring up Yosemite because of our trip.
That was the last time you were sort of in nature. And that was
seven years ago. 7 years ago.
Legally. All right, Mark, is that your favorite national park?
It is, yeah.
And Vic, yours, quickly?
Let's get through it. No, I really just like, I'm amazed at Joshua Tree. I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
Oh, I've been. Beautiful.
It's like,
I love Josh
Mars.
Tree.
Yeah. Matt?
What's Matt? What's going on with Matt? He's like, he turned into Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Right past my eye.
I was thinking. I don't know. Yeah, I like Joshua. I like them all.
Oh,
what's your least favorite national park?
Larry? I like Zion. Zion.
Zion's your least favorite?
No. I love it. Zion and Bryce. I like that duo. You do both of them.
Right, sure. You get two for one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Larry, quickly.
I would go for Redwoods National Park.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
I like Northern
Sequoia
California.
Is also up there.
Yes.
Similar
and
trees.
Even Lassen, if you go up to the volcanic ruins up there, very pretty, very surreal.
That's really cool.
Mm.
These are great answers.
They are.
Very illuminating. So thank you, Jim.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Larry, we found a little bit of, we should play this for Larry. I think I want to get his take on it.
Oh, yes.
Your pal, Bill Maher, mentioned you on his podcast.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if we can confirm this. I want to get what your answer to this was.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious. I have no idea what this is.
Blah, blah, blah. So I said, forget it. I will never do that. And the director, Larry Charles, you know, he really is my full partner in this. I can't direct a movie. He did Borat. You know, he's a genius. Yeah. He's a genius, Larry Charles.
Hey, let's hear it for that.
So I had dinner with him recently, and I said, I always thought we shouldn't do religious too, the Hindus, but somebody suggested to me religious too, but the religion is wokeism.
He's talking to Tommy Lee.
Yeah. Tommy Lee doesn't want to talk about this. Yeah. Okay, confirm.
He's ready to throw up, Tommy Lee, just from he's drunk a gallon of vodka.
Yeah, he drank his 2 gallons.
Okay, so I think that's all we have, right? We don't have.
Yeah.
I think Tommy Lee just wants to move things along.
He did talk to me about that, but also I should tell you that I was the original director on. What was the name of the movie that about Motley Crue? The Dirt.
Oh,
I was the original director on that, so I hung out with Motley Crue for quite a while.
Yeah.
Until I couldn't take it anymore, and I dropped it. Because they wanted to be like, we're the Beatles. We want our master taste. I was like, nobody. People want to see you snort
dance
on the ground, you know, with Ozzy Osbourne. So I know Tommy Lee a little bit also. And Pam Anderson was in Borat. So,
And
Kid Rock broke up with Pam Anderson because of the Borat
scene. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Very, very unhappy
that's
with that.
That's very sad.
But Bill did mention that to me at dinner. We had dinner a few weeks ago.
And so he drops this wokeism stuff, and you got to just be like, mm-hmm.
Well,
or does that interest you?
Well, I'm open to the idea of exploring. I've had people come to me with different documentary ideas about wokeism and political correctness.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't feel that fresh to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, cancel culture, all this stuff feels like a kind of already it's
been
warmed over.
Marinating since the 90s.
Yeah. PC so I think if there was some way to do something that makes that subject funny, and again crosses the boundaries and is unpredictable, then maybe I would be open to that. But I couldn't say yes or no to it. It's a very
embryonic
idea.
I don't think Bill's the guy to walk us through that.
I don't think he even wants to do it. Actually,
right? You know, it's just of course you sit around, you spitball things.
Yeah, yeah.
It is an obsession of his. It feels like lately, it's like
he has been on a bit of a tear.
Yeah, and it's a little like it's sad. Because it feels a little grumpy old man, get off my lawn.
Right. Which is weird with, you know, the thing, that is how he sometimes comes off. And yet in my exposure to him over the years, he's actually a very open-minded person, strangely enough. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think it from the persona.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he is very open to changing his mind and listening and stuff like that. And that I always find surprising about
Well, though, I guess you could
in
say...
In terms of his perception.
In that way, he's not sticking to this kind of partisan line.
Yeah.
As he presents with the way he thinks. But... it does feel like that feeling of when older guys kind of see the world changing and can't get on board. And it's like, you got it. Sometimes it's hard.
Well, you know,
because things change. You're uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable.
Well, I don't know. Oh, go ahead, Larry.
No, please.
Well, I was just going to say, you get into a bubble sometimes. People get into bubbles. They're surrounded by people who are sort of agreeing with them, and they lose touch with the outside world. I think one of the great things that you're doing here is you're very tapped into the real world. But Bill, to some degree, and a lot of people that I know like this, are kind of isolated from the real world.
Sure.
And so they develop their ideas within this bubble, and it's not really tested in the real world.
Yeah, they're
as
having
much.
Dinner with their manager and people on their level.
Yes.
With you. But you could push back on him a little bit, but maybe you don't feel like you want to because that's uncomfortable.
I push back, but it's having a sandwich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not, neither one of us is going to change anything
over
the hour that I spent with him. So,
what's nice? Go ahead, Matt, Mark.
I also think that for Bill, and I don't know him personally, but I feel like his big take on this is that it's a new form of censorship.
Right.
The cancel culture.
Yes.
If you don't agree with this comedian or this, and I'm not talking about the criminals. I'm talking about, you didn't like this idea or you think this is bullying in comedy or whatever.
Right.
I feel like he's more concerned about the censorship side. And it is kind of new because it's we're used to it being a right-wing fascist thing,
right?
But now it's on the left.
It is coming. There's more policing of self. There's policing online that of ideas.
Yeah, and I feel like I think this is still kind of new territory and new ground for us. Yes, so much of the discussion is warmed over, but yes, that form of censorship is still there. Us not wanting to do a certain joke or, right, you know, a certain storyline.
But that is self-censorship. You have that choice. And Bill, I think, is also the least censored person probably in the media. I mean, he can say whatever he wants.
Sure.
So I think, though,
there's
also
just consequences to what you say.
There's,
yeah, you have to kind of, yes, be ready to take, right, the responsibility, yeah, to stand behind what you say, for sure. But there is also this kind of thing about, like, it almost reminds me when I was a kid and guys started growing their hair long, and they go, you can't tell the boys from the girls anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a little, right, bit of that, right, feeling, yeah, to all this also. Trans swimmers are going to, yeah, ruin the world, you,
right,
know?
Right.
That kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, there is this, we are afraid to laugh as an audience. That's why dicks, really, yeah, I don't want to keep promoting it.
Well, it's very craven what you just did. We all see it. Thank you.
I know, it was very transparent, yeah, and I do apologize. But my point, a deeper point, is that it kind of flies in the face of all that.
Right.
It's an anti-woke movie, and it's a woke anti-woke movie. You know, it really does fly in the face of all these proper boundaries that we think we live within. People want to explode out of that. They want to be liberated from these, from the suppression. And this movie gives people a chance to really have a catharsis, yeah, in the,
well,
theater.
And I think it also becomes this thing where it's almost, on almost every issue, it's very hard to distill down a truth or a simple idea about how an opinion about something in a social media post, whether, correct, it's a infographic on Instagram or a tweet or, you know, a longer written piece, you're always going to be leaving something out that, yes, doesn't reflect fully the situation. You're always going to be editorializing how you feel about it. And these issues, obviously Israel and Gaza, incredibly complicated, incredibly painful, and hard to, not that you can't have opinions about things, but when you try to distill it into a post.
Yeah, and people are jumping, as far as Israel and Palestine and the Middle East, people jump so quickly,
yes,
to take a side, and it is, like you say, so complicated,
yes,
so complex, so historical.
Yeah. And that could, people could come at that idea,
yes,
with anger and vitriol towards that idea alone, that it's, yeah, complicated. Some people don't see it as complicated. They,
right,
see it as very crystal clear.
Very black and white, yes,
yeah,
it's true. And that's part of the complication of it. There's a group of people who see it not complicated at all, but very simplistically.
Yeah.
And those people have to be dealt with also in this discussion.
Now, when you
context,
say be dealt with, what are you saying?
Taking
what are you
them out and dealing with
that's
them
very
properly.
Harsh. Yeah.
So I don't have much patience for that. No, I think that is very complicated. And I think in this rush to say something, people say a lot of things that don't really have any meaning and then are also misinterpreted. So it just winds up adding to the confusion,
right,
and,
yes,
disinformation.
Now, do you have any prescriptive, because you are very educated, very well, like, I would look to you as a wise man to say how, I mean, the joke I've been doing about this privately is sort of like, the good news is I know exactly how I feel about this.
Yeah, 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 right.
Which
I understand.
Is like, you know, that's I'm being ironic. I don't know how to feel
well,
about it.
Well, it's very hard to know.
It's
very hard to know, actually.
But
you are being fed a lot of information that you're supposed to process and figure out what's real and what's not.
Right. But in a grand scheme, you can have certain, like, you know, ethics about it. You can have certain morals about it that can help guide you and maybe doesn't always line up with what's happening that day in the world. But, you know, what is your macro overall vision of what's happening?
In the Middle East.
Yeah.
Well,
and you could say, you know what? It's too complicated to talk about on your show.
That is the truth. I will give you just a quick sort of, you know, observation. I've been to both Israel and Palestine.
Well, this is true because you did this movie,
yeah,
with Bill.
I went there with Sasha. I went there,
yeah,
with Bill. I went there on the Dangerous Comedy for Netflix. I've been to those areas.
We're not just talking about a random dude here.
Yeah, I've been there and I've been to the West Bank and Gaza and I've done a lot of that. And I also did a piece that Netflix didn't put it on, actually, where I interviewed this Palestinian comic named Adi Khalifa,
mm-hmm,
in Palestine. He lives with his mom and his brother in an apartment. They're the sweetest people in the world. That was my impression of Palestine. He ran a comedy workshop for children that had been injured,
wow,
in bombings. And I went to, and I shot that comedy workshop, and the kids are getting up with crutches or whatever, and they're trying to process their trauma through comedy. That was my impression of Palestine. You know, people very innocent. They cannot defend themselves. They just want peace. That's the majority of the people in Palestine that I met.
And living in bleak circumstances.
Very bleak. And you cannot, just for me, with my group, just getting across the border to the checkpoints was virtually impossible. It gets closed down. You're stuck. You can't get back home if you're in Israel and you're Palestinian. Mm-hmm. You can't get to Israel to go to work if you're Palestinian because of the checkpoints. All that stuff needs to be broken down. People need to start discussing it. People like Netanyahu are fueling it for their own personal ambitions instead of diffusing it. There's a way to diffuse it. That's basically in a nutshell.
And it's impossible to diffuse now. We're at this flashpoint moment.
At this moment, yes, exactly.
But that's
a lot of innocent people on all sides have been unnecessarily murdered. And that's absolute shame, you know.
Yeah. And do you have real worry or real worry that this is going to escalate and become a bigger, much bigger event?
Well, I feel like the war machine is what sort of pushes all superpowers.
Yeah.
So Russia wants to be at war. We want to be at war.
Yeah, and you're using it as chess pieces on the globe.
I think that they will expand it as far as they can.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's profitable, unfortunately and sadly. And human life is not worth anything, and money still kind of dominates the discussion.
When you look at the news, when you look at the news, who can you trust? Who do you look to trust? Who do you feel confident looking
Comedians. I trust like Jordan Klepper and The Daily Show and people like that. The Good Liars, do you know those guys?
Yes, they're great.
Yeah. I mean,
but they're not doing, I'm talking about real reporting on the ground.
I don't find they're usually in a hotel room on a terrace far from the action. Yeah. That's the thing. If they were down there are people who are on the ground and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I will respect anybody who's there and sort of, I'd like to see somebody doing more of the Palestinian side of the story.
Of course. I mean, listen, I've been kind of tuning into CNN. We all kind of get drawn into, I'm not going to watch Fox. I'm not going to watch MSNBC, but I'm also looking on the web and watching. I like to watch Al Jazeera as much as I
can.
Yes,
me too. Me too.
That's a different perspective. But CNN is just, they're every hour says, according to the Israeli Foreign Ministry, or according to the IDF, we spoke with, it's a lot of that side.
Yeah.
So if you want to get the Israeli side of the war.
Well, Palestinians don't have a military, they don't have a media.
They don't have PR people.
They don't really have anything. It's just like Native Americans in this country. I mean, they're here, you know, and they're living in poverty and they are forgotten about. And if they decide to assert themselves, they'll be stopped. You know?
Also, we can't overlook the fact that CNN benefits greatly by having chaos in the world.
Absolutely. They're licking their chops on the amount of free TV they're getting from just being able to talk to generals about 100%. Missiles. And
well, that's why they're so into your boy Trump, because
oh Jesus, Larry. Well,
it's true. He is a newsmaker. You know,
absolutely.
They give him so much attention because he likes the attention. He knows how to take advantage of it.
And he creates good television.
Yeah.
Well, I think he kind of goofed because, I mean, he goofed several times a day, I guess. But like, just. If you looked at it, if you were like his minder or, you know, whoever, you'd be like, everything's falling apart in the world. Like, the world, everyone feels this kind of chaos.
It wasn't me.
What was that?
That's not me.
Somebody's been on the line the whole time. I'm going to go. In a way, Trump could kind of just, and it's the scary thing is, you know, strongmen and fascists look for chaos to kind of step in and say, I'm going to solve everything myself and I'm going to be the strong hand. And, you know, you look for chaos. Chaos creates opportunity. So he could be kind of just kind of chilling in the corner and wait for this to get worse. And then, but then he was doing that speech where he starts complaining about BB and he was not very nice. And like he starts getting into these like really, really petty, bitchy kind of things.
I think
like,
people are.
And it's like he just looks weak when he does that.
Yeah. But I think that's why he can't win again. I think there's enough people. He's already lost twice, really, when you think about it. And so the idea that more people are going to vote for him now is kind of absurd, you know?
Yeah.
I think that there's a small group of very fervent followers, that cult.
He could have, yeah.
You know, they're there, but I think everybody else around them is already sort of...
But he could have played that sort of reluctant, like, kind of stays off the media and being like, I had my chance, and the people demand him return to the White House.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, but he's out there blabbing away. All right, listen.
Yes, sir.
Let's move on from this. Unless is there somebody that has to chime in?
I love music.
On the Zoom room.
On this topic?
No.
Oh, do you want to go to a Zoomer? I don't. What are you?
Yeah, that's what I was kind of saying. Like, let's bring the make sure we're still live on the air mostly.
We are. Why don't we check? Oh, the hotline just dropped. That's right. Yeah, sure. iPhone 7.
Oh, iPhone 7.
7.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with the fact that the iPhone 15 just came out. Maybe join the 90s.
I think the guy with the puffy shirt just showed up again.
Oh, yeah. Different outfit. Oh, really?
He's a known quantity.
Wait. Oh, it's that was really freaky. This kid is so dark that I thought it was like this weird reflection of my own face in the lens. Where the hell are you?
Outside.
Oh well, yeah, but it you're in the other part of the world.
It's not I'm in dark Europe yet. Right now. I'm in the Netherlands.
Oh, of course. Why? Yeah. We should have assumed that. How are things there?
You can tell from the buildings.
Yeah, good. Weather is turning.
All right. Well,
yeah, otherwise good.
Did you have something you wanted to say? Or?
Yeah, Tim, I thought I'd heard you talk about this before, but I'm curious. Are you a big Howard Stern fan? And if you had to find equivalents, Howard Stern equivalents, like, for instance, who is your Robin? Who is your Beetlejuice?
I've historically been a big Howard Stern fan. I haven't listened quite as, I mean, I feel like, yeah, all the best, but it's gotten a little.
Well, you can't listen to and watch everything. Also.
Yeah, I loved his interview with Paul Simon. Did you catch
I did
that?
See that. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that I saw it in bits, like a little.
You're with me on Stern, right?
Yeah.
Big fan, and it feels like.
Huge fan, but.
Not sure I want to hear about Ronnie anymore.
Yeah, I mostly. You know, I used to listen in the car, and now I mostly just listen.
Now you lost your license because of a DUI.
Well, you can only have 4 in this state.
4 wines?
4 DUIs.
Well, you have that involuntary manslaughter, the vehicular manslaughter thing hanging over
there. That's hanging. Yeah, that's not.
You got to
sure.
resolve alleged. That, man.
Alleged.
But obviously, I would say if I had to do it, it would be, well, get Matt's Baba Booey. Vic is Fred. And I think Doug is Robin. Does that make sense? And Phil is Beetlejuice.
Phil is actually, what's his name? Bobo.
Bobo. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, listen, speaking of Phil, I don't know if we should do it. And I want to do this because Larry's here. I mean, we didn't even scratch this fucking surface with you.
I do want to ask Larry
I'll come
a question.
Back.
Go ahead. Yes, Mark.
Having been in writers' rooms, and how did you fit in? Because you don't seem... From all I've read and stuff of you in the years and past and stuff, you never seemed like you were itching for the writer's room experience. This feels more at home.
Yeah. Seinfeld, we didn't have a writer's room. And we didn't feel we needed one. Everybody had their individual
You didn't have a writer's room.
No writer's room.
Well, there was a room where people met.
No, not for the first few years. I mean, Larry and Jerry were in their office. I was in my office. Then Peter Melman came along. He was in his office. We'd write our drafts. And then we would sit together maybe and go over it with Larry and Jerry. And that was it. You know, and then we'd have the read-through and the rehearsals and we'd shoot the show. Later on, after I left, really, they started bringing more writers in, and it was more of a traditional writer's room. I find that the writer's room often takes the edges off of the humor, and the singular voice is much more powerful than the group voice, and I've seen it happen many, many times, where the edges get rounded off, and so I'm not attracted to the writer's room. There's also this assertion of personalities. You know, it's like a dynamic in the room. Some guys are louder. Some people are more, defer and they sublimate. Other people assert themselves way too much. You know, in the end, everybody's got to take off their mask and be who they are, and you've got to deliver the goods. And it's just a long process where I used to go on an entourage. we would have these arguments with the writers, and I'd just give me the script.
Yeah.
And I would just go in and close the
door. I didn't know you were with that show.
I was executive producer of Entourage for the first two seasons also. Okay. While I was doing Curb at the same time.
Wow.
It was crazy, but I would go into the room and close the door and write the scene. Because I could write the scene faster than I could discussing it with all these people.
Sure. Right.
So I was always looking to cut through that process.
That all makes sense.
Does that satisfy you, Mark?
It does. Better than I was expecting.
Did that start at Seinfeld, where you're kind of going off on your own? Or before that, did you go?
Seinfeld was your first gig.
Was that the very first?
Well, no, you had Fridays.
I did Fridays, which was quite a ways before that, but that's where I met Larry David. I didn't know there was such a thing as a writer's room. I never heard the expression, and we had never done a sitcom when we did Seinfeld. So I was like a sketch writer, and I loved sketch writing. Mm. And I would have continued doing sketch writing if variety shows and stuff like that were still around at that time. They died out, and then they came back.
Right.
You and other people sort of recreated that form to some degree, which is really cool.
That's funny about Seinfeld is you see how the sketch comedy influence in it, I think, because the ideas are so strong.
Yeah, and there are set-piece comedy scenes that are really just
about... Could work on their own.
Exactly, like sketches.
But Mark never cared for Seinfeld.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Big Apprentice fan, though.
Apprentice is more my speed.
You're more a reality TV guy.
Very much so.
I want to get to this because Larry's got to go at the hour break. And if you're watching us, by the way, join patreon.com/officehourslive. It is, we do have sponsors, but if you join Patreon, you don't have to deal with them. You don't have to listen to that bullshit. That's nice. And we love our sponsors, by the way. We're being sponsored by Raytheon this week, by the way.
Ah,
and I love their work.
Oh,
yeah, I really do. I mean, I don't know everything about what they do, but really, their corporate structure is impressive.
Yes, very. I agree. And their air-to-ground missiles, really top.
Fast.
Top notch. Yeah.
You like how fast they are, don't you?
I like their speed.
And their accuracy.
Their accuracy.
Sounds like Jerry. Their accuracy. Maybe Jerry's doing like a corporate gig at Raytheon. The accuracy. Have you seen the Trump as Seinfeld things that someone's done? They've taken Trump's little shticks that he does in his speeches and put the music and the curtain behind him. And it works beautiful. It works perfect.
I'll have to look for that. I haven't seen that.
Oh, yet.
That's great.
It's him talking about turning on the faucets and the water doesn't come up.
Right. The toilets and everything.
No, but this is so embarrassing. Not for me, but I think
from
what
Mark,
happened was...
because Mark somehow.
No, it's not Mark that's responsible for this, but our friend Phil Braun... Well, you just told me was the actor's name or the character? It was obviously the actor's
the
name.
The actor who played Jerry's father originally.
In the pilot.
In the pilot.
Who got recast because?
He got recast. We didn't think he was that funny. And I saw Jerry Stiller on a movie called Seize the Day with Robin Williams.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't seen him for years.
So you're responsible for Jerry Stiller.
Well, I came in. I told Jerry and Larry, hey, I just saw Jerry Stiller last night. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He would be great as George's father. And they had already been thinking about maybe recasting
the
part.
We know.
Yeah, and then Jerry Stiller was at a play and he couldn't do it. You know, it took a little while, but it worked out.
Got you.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, we were talking about Seinfeld last week, and let me just apologize. I have a huge apology to make. I made it online, but let me hit it. Mark, I want your take on this. We were riffing on Seinfeld and the idea of them doing a reboot. I was riffing with Mike Mitchell. You know Mike Mitchell?
I don't.
You don't know Mike from the Birthday Boys? You must have crossed paths.
I'm sure we've crossed paths. Yeah. I don't. You know,
right.
I don't.
You don't know anybody.
Too much.
Anyway, I made the joke that the first episode of Seinfeld, if they did a reboot, would be Kramer addressing the Michael Richards incident, which you know all too well.
Yes, I do.
Terrible incident. We rewatched it. It's bad, you know.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I have rewatched it a couple of times.
It's bad.
Sometimes just for fun.
Yeah.
Or for laughs.
The apology, not to go back to what we did, but the apology on Letterman is one of the, is even almost worse.
That was a big mistake.
Deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, because he's not Jerry. Jerry thought he could be like Jerry. Jerry's like, you know, you're very facile and he could glib and he could have gotten out of it.
Yeah.
Michael is like, you know, almost pre-verbal.
Yeah, yeah.
And for him to try to make an apology was a disaster.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
In there
people
too.
Google it. People giggling.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I said it'd be funny if on Seinfeld they did, they, they addressed it by doing, he said it, Jerry, you know. He said what? He said it. I said it, Jerry, you know. That's like what, how they, but my wise and all-knowing audience reminded me that Curb addressed the issue 8 years ago, whenever. Were you a part of that?
Yeah, I directed, I executive produced that season.
Might be the best season of Curb.
It was a great season, yeah, I agree. My favorite, probably.
Yeah. So deep, deep, deep apologies, and we appreciate the scolding on that issue. And I said I will be keeping a comedy encyclopedia with me at all times so that I don't take anything from anybody ever again. But I think our take is a little different.
Memory. Yeah, I don't think it would look anything like The Curb.
No.
It would be different.
Anyway, so what happened was this. We were talking about it. Phil is always looking for opportunities, and I think what happened was he got the idea that they are doing this Seinfeld reboot and that there might be an opportunity to play, I think, well, he basically made a self-tape of auditioning for Kramer. But I don't. I think he actually put it in our Dropbox. Like, he uploaded it.
Phil.
And I don't. This is mean to play, because this is obviously not going to go anywhere. Phil,
you never know.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Phil, but you put it in our Dropbox. I don't know if you meant to, but we have it, and we should play it. Just a minute of it, because can you play it, Matt? This, talk about cringe.
Okay, this is Phil Braun doing a audition tape to audition for the new Kramer.
There's no new, like, this doesn't exist as a thing, so.
Karate, Jerry. It's karate. See, karate is not down here. It's up here, and here, and here. Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone.
Oh, yeah. He's just, this isn't going
to
happen, right? What do you think,
Larry?
Tell
me which movie you want to
see. I think it's an interesting interpretation.
Yeah.
Terminator 3.
I mean, this is why we're fighting to stop all the self-tape.
Is that one of the SAG? That's one of the SAG.
Wait, is that part of the deal?
We need notes. It's good to have notes.
Is that part of the thing? Yeah. Self-taping? I didn't even know that.
Apparently, it's gotten out of hand. I don't get asked to audition for much, so I don't know. But
wait, skip ahead to that because I was looking at it. He did some bit with the folding the closet door.
This is pretty long, huh?
Oh, well, he's got a whole new set. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's clearly a very skilled physical comedian.
Oh, funny stuff, yeah.
This is great.
I don't remember this part of Seinfeld, but...
No, I don't think he had one of those kind of...
I think it's great that you have...
Look, he's laughing at himself.
Yeah, he broke up.
But that was actually kind of looked like Kramer a little bit.
Yeah, he had a moment.
It's nice that you have room on your show for the, you know... Disabled, the mentally,
mentally challenged.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know where he got the idea that there are people that people are looking for submissions.
Right. That's the strange message.
Is Phil in the Zoom room? Is he here?
I did not see him.
Okay.
Before.
Well, he must be running for the heading for the hills.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Man, we got to let
Larry
go.
We should get that to Jerry.
Yeah, maybe it'll spark something. Yeah. So, but for the record, you're not aware of any Seinfeld?
I have no knowledge of anything to do with Seinfeld whatsoever.
Yeah, no Super Bowl commercial.
Nothing.
And if you did,
it wouldn't
know,
involve me anyway, most
really?
Likely. Yeah, I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I'm a pain in the ass, you know. Yeah. What do I? They could do it
you're
themselves.
Because you're going to be the conscience of that
right,
show.
Right, they'll
and
figure
like,
it out.
And they'll be like, can we just... But
they don't need me.
We don't need to... We don't need comedy rules from you. Let's take one more Zoomer specifically for Larry, because then we have to let Larry go and do his work.
I'm really sorry about that.
No.
Yes. Where did
it's nice. Isn't Larry the greatest?
It's always nice when you meet people you've admired. And
wave your hand around if you had a Larry.
Mark, you're very sweet, Mark.
Okay,
very sweet.
Chris.
No, let's hope no allegations come out about you.
Yeah, let's hope.
Oh, you didn't even talk about the Dylan stuff. Right. Have to do that?
Well, we talked a lot of Dylan last time.
We did the last time. Yeah. Yeah.
That's, right. That's for the Joker.
I wrote a book, by the way. So I don't know. It'll probably be on next year.
Oh, great. Can I get an advanced copy?
I will get you an advanced copy. I'll come back. We'll talk about all that shit. Yeah.
Chris, you have a question.
Hey, guys. Medium fan.
Cute.
Larry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
This book. My mom bought it for me when I was in junior high.
If you're listening, we've got Richard Belzer's How to Be a Stand-Up Comic book,
which I co-wrote.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I think my mom got it at the bargain bin.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the few people that has a copy. I congratulate you.
Do you want him to digitally sign it right now on the screen?
Don't show any of the pictures from inside because
right.
That's from a long time ago.
Yeah. Now, Belzer, were you intrigued by him from his time on Thick of the Night?
I knew him from before that, actually. He was like the coolest stand-up in New York. And he was like kind of an amazing person, and all these people would come and watch him because he had such a unique act and such a live act. And, you know, Robin Williams and all these people wanted to see him, Gilbert Gottfried. And I had a chance to meet him, and we hit it off, and I wrote material for him for a few years. Yeah.
Was it because when people would see him, was he doing a lot of improvisational stand-up?
Like he didn't have an act. He would come out on stage and just work the audience for an hour, and it was brilliant, and he would make it up. And
did he ever have an act? Like if he was going to go on the road?
That's what I did. I wound up writing chunks for him and hunks for him, but he was really at his best when he was just off the cuff.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
That's kind of like the last person you want to get, read a book about how to do stand-up comedy from, because the thing that you can
do. You have to be funny and go out.
You have to be very naturally funny and very gifted.
The book is not very instructional. It's,
well, who's that?
Yeah, that's Belzer, actually, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Well, he asked you explicitly not to show pictures from the book.
I never listen. I'm a rule breaker, like Mark.
So. Well, congratulations to your Dodgers there, by the way.
Yes, right.
Well, great ending.
I'm actually a White Sox fan.
Okay. All right, we're going to let you go.
All right. Thank you, though.
Hey, the P.O. Box. Can you guys throw out the P.O. Box?
The what?
I can mail you P.O. Box.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got it. We need it. Do we have a P.O. Box, Matt? We don't want to give that publicly because we're going to get anthrax.
I'll DM you.
Okay.
Cool.
DM.
Larry, we'll have you back. Is the book announced, or is it just...
It was just announced, but I don't know when it's coming out. I wrote it. It's written already.
What's the title?
I'm calling it right now Life is But a Joke, because it comes from All Along the Watchtower, which was a big song that I argued with Bob about.
Wait. There's a tease. There's a tease if I've ever been a tease.
Next time.
Next time, for sure.
Huge breaking news. Participating was intentional.
Participating? Wow. I got the Doug news, too. Can you read the statement from Doug? This just came down the wire.
Yes, Doug says, knew you would be confused by it, so mission accomplished.
Well, that sucks. let me get one thing from you. I want to tease. We're going to take a break. Let Larry go. When we come back, we're going to play Mark, True or False. And I'm going to give one to Larry and see if he can go out on a win.
Yeah.
Mark loves fine wine. True or false?
False.
That is actually true. Okay, so
Mark likes fine wine?
I like wine.
I heard Ripple and, you know, more like MD 2020.
I was getting the Red Fox brand of Ripple for a while, but
We're going to come back, and I think because I'm the game master, I will, Mark, of course, can't play. He'll just have to be here for this. We'll play with a Zoomer and a Zoomer, I think. Does that make sense?
Zoomer versus Zoomer.
Zoomer versus Codhead Hotliner. How about
there you
that?
Go.
All right, we'll be back after this. Patreon.com/OfficeHoursLive. Go see Dix the Musical if it's playing in a theater near you. And Mark Proach will be here after the break.
I
pray to God. Okay. All right. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you
all
so
the
much.
Best. I love you very
really
much.
Good time. It was fun. Thank you.
Hello all, this is Dr. Jordan Peterson. Young men are currently under attack. Thankfully, Office Hours has provided a safe haven for so many of us. And I am so touched by the budding beauty of the Holy Trinity and the offer they are willing to give to their loyal fans. With Office Hours Plus, you can get access to another full hour of the show every week, Tim's Saturday morning blog posts, the Joel Hole, and so much more exclusive content. And the best part is, if you go to patreon.com/officehours live right now, you can get your first 7 days absolutely free. Hell, you'd be a total moron to not give this a try. Listen, bucko, you better act now before the woke narcissistic psychopaths take us down. The soil dropping leaves everywhere. Its root grows deep.